This is Melissa, and it is Christmas Day, December 25, 2024. And I hope that you are having a merry or a happy Christmas wherever you are. And if you do not celebrate this day, I hope it is a good day for you too. This Redux Christmas talk that is going up today was selected and illustrated by Mike in Canada. He wrote me a few weeks ago and said that he would like to make a video for Christmas, and he had selected the talk that he'd like to use. And I listened to it and I thought that it was a really good one. This is December the 25th, 2008. And there is also a guitar composition that will go along with this. Mike he's a friend. He has been very helpful to me since the early days after Alan's passing. He is in Ontario and helped me in a number of really essential ways as I was preparing to leave Canada and return to the States. And in October of that year, 2021, I had made it to the States. I was in Texas, and he contacted me and wanted to, he had already cut some excerpts, little short pieces of Alan's talks, and he entitled those Waking Up. So the very idea of the excerpt series comes from Mike, and he did all, you know, the first quite a few of them. He did Waking Up and Evil, Programmed People, Purpose Made People. He did them originally as audios, and then he ended up doing some of them as videos, and Weston was here, and Weston taught himself how to make the videos and illustrated some of them, and then eventually I got in there and did that. And so This was just a kind of a key part of what has become the regular content that I put up week in and week out. And I've also done a couple of really interesting real histories, Over the Mountain, 1 and 2 with Mike. And Over the Mountain comes from, I won't try to paraphrase it, but it was Alan saying, you've got to, you know, cross that mountain of disbelief, you know, oh, they wouldn't do that to us. And once you do cross that mountain, once you get over the mountain, you see things from a totally different perspective. So I think Mike did an amazing job on the video. And he also illustrated Ombre, the guitar piece. And I'll just say that 2008 Christmas was the first Christmas that I was with Alan. And it's special in my mind to go back to that time for so many reasons. And it's the excitement and the intensity of being with someone that you love and sharing that time with them, and then, you know, figuring out how you live with someone in a tiny little house and you don't step on each other's toes. And he was doing RBN 3 nights a week. And then right at the beginning of December of 2008, he was invited to do that 5 nights a week. And so he launched into that. So this Christmas, he had been just a few short weeks of the 5-night-a-week RBN schedule. And Jason was there helping to upload and do the audios at that time. Jason, I've mentioned, who was also from the States. And Alan would send us away. He didn't want us around when he made the guitar piece, and he played it, and I listened to it, and I know this song note for note. I love it. It's beautiful. I even know exactly at the moment when that first sort of, I call it like an emotional build, the emotional crescendo, that first one in the piece, and one of his little notification bells on the computer rings. I can hear that. But it's beautiful. It moves me very much. And then Jason could always be counted on for having little pocket dictionaries of any language, you name it. And he would bring up his little Spanish-English pocket dictionary. And then Alan played the piece for us. And then we just sat there and tried to, you know, figure out what the song meant, what we thought it should be titled. And Alan had this idea in his head, you know, something just, you know, the struggle and the triumphs of a man or men or mankind. And I don't know if it was me or if it was Jason, but one of us came up with the word hombre for man. And I had a little back and forth with Mike. I just had a bit of a vision. I wanted to give him creative leeway, but I just said this is about a man. And I have to tell you that what he returned to me, I don't even know, because he was very helpful to me, but he never visited our home in Esther. And that those snowshoes aren't Alan's snowshoes, those aren't his feet, that's not Hamish, but the feel of the place that he found the video for. I'll just leave it at that. I probably gave too much away, but when I saw the video, I was transported to the thousands of walks that I took with Alan and Hamish, and the probably many hundreds of walks that I took when the snow was on the ground. And there's even a place that Alan's place abutted a small pond, and you'll see that there. It's one of those little miracles of making a video when everything is just right, and I love it. And I hope that you will enjoy both the talk and the guitar piece, Hombre. And I had said that I was going to teach myself to play the guitar. That didn't happen. I said, well, I'll at least pick out, you know, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, but I was reminded of something that my mother used to say quite often when we'd have a suggestion or an idea that she wasn't that keen on. She'd say, oh, let's not, and say we did. And so that was my approach to playing the guitar for you this year. But instead, what I did was I took my little camera outside and I walked around and photographed my feet crunching on the leaves. Gave you a few pictures of the tail end of my garden and my cats, who like to follow me around everywhere. And so I am leaving you with that and wishing you a very Merry Christmas. And I won't say Happy New Year, because I will be back on Sunday with a redux. But a big gift of my heart to you. All the best.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt, this is CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com on Christmas Day, the 25th of December 2008. For those who've been listening for a long time, we've all gone through the same experiences together as this big bureaucratic system. It puts its tentacles around us all and we feel the squeeze. We know what's coming. We knew each part of their agenda as it was coming, and that was part of what I tried to do, was to show you how the major events in life are planned by giving you the evidence from the big meetings. It's not a hard thing to do, to control a planet when you have the media in your pocket, and the media's job, of course, is not to inform you as to what's really happening around you, but to keep you focused on trivia. The small events in sports. Many years ago, I knew that when sports became front page news, that was it over. That was the game over, because trivia would be pumped into us from then on. We have a media worldwide interconnected, that has access to everything that's happening, every global meeting. And in any one day during the year, there's always some global meeting going on with NGOs working together with the United Nations. But it's kept either out of the papers completely, or else they don't tell you what it's really all about. It sounds very innocent. Yet every meeting that occurs ends up with treaties that must be signed into law by every country. And this is never mentioned in mainstream media. People expect major changes to happen in their own lifetime by hard work towards a particular goal. And you have to realize what you're up against is a mammoth that's been running this world for an awful long time, intergenerationally. Therefore, the main changes that occur are from the bottom level, from the people's level, take generations as well to build up momentum. That has worked in the past. Sometimes they've had to back off with their big agendas. Never ever throw it out the window. They may postpone it a little bit, but they bring it back again. But we can't even have that luxury anymore, because they're on a roll towards this whole world government. And unfortunately, they have complete control over the minds of the very young as kindergarten even, to brainwash them into thinking that everything that's happening and transpiring comes out of necessity and fact. That's why you can't get through to them. They're so brainwashed with a scientific indoctrination. We've watched political correctness sweep through our entire system until you're talking to robots with their little buzzwords, their catchwords and phrases, their slogans. That's what they bounce back at you, slogans, exactly as Lenin said they would. Most people are truly never conscious. You can't be conscious if you are not informed. To be informed, you can't take bits and bytes of information, but you must have complete access to all information on any particular topic, especially the topics you're talking about. We never have access to all the documentation. Science is the new God, and science is using the same techniques that religions used down through the ages. Down through the ages, you were fighting invisible forces, and the special priests were the only ones who knew what was going on. They kept the demons at bay, if you paid them enough. We find the same thing happening today with the farces of the sciences, because the science is basically the new religion. Very few people understand any particular area of science at the bottom level, and to be honest with you, I don't think they understand at the top either. But as long as we believe they know what they're talking about, we obey them like any other priesthood, and therefore those, the dominant minority who rule the planet, are using science to its extreme, and we have to take their words for it, that we are the problem. We're causing global warming, and therefore most of us have to be eliminated. We're not productive, and we take up too much of their resources. You will find, as more and more people become informed about the bigger picture and have access to more and more information, the big boys will step up their agenda and become even more absurd in their dogmatism, because they will never come down to the bottom level and have it out in a rational, argumentative forum with facts. They can't, because their facts are bogus. Therefore, when totalitarian regimes think they're losing control, they simply step up the heat and they come down even more with brute force. And we are dealing with ultimate evil here, and I hope people understand that. You see, we've been taught for a long time now there's no such thing as evil, there's just bad traits in people, and that evil is a judgment on the outcomes. Was it good or bad? Who benefited? Who lost? As long as someone benefits, it must be okay. And that is wrong. That is wrong. There is such a thing as evil. When evil is rampant, people suffer in a thousand ways. When you see the evidence of suffering all over the world, then you know that evil truly is rampant. And we must bring back this idea of something called evil, or in its simplest form, right and wrong. And even those within society that you think are your friends will fight you on the definitions of right and wrong, because there's hardly a person out there that hasn't been contaminated, and that's the proper term, with indoctrinations we've had for this new age, as it's called. The dilemma for most people in how to fight this whole system is that they tend to try and fight it head on by using the old standard rules, intimidation, because after all, you are being intimidated when you have cameras set up everywhere in a totally observed, watched, stamped society. You take the representatives of the system head on, and those are the ones at the bottom of the ladder, the policemen and so on, who are brainwashed in their own fashion as well, because the control freak faction in society is within everyone, really, or the factor is, at least. And people who get uniforms put on them, just like wearing a good suit, you're suddenly a new person, a different person, you forget who you are, and now you're a boss, and you expect to be observed and obeyed. Down through the centuries, it's the bottom people who fight each other for other people at the top that never take place, or who never enter the battlefield. They sit back somewhere else and watch it all, and they always win. They won through the Hegelian dialectic, because they have plans for the leaders of whoever wins on whoever's side, and that's how simple it works. It's very, very simplistic. You've got to understand that the battle starts with yourself, and in a way it ends with yourself as well. What are you fighting for? Are you trying to keep something? What are you trying to keep? Generally it's values of some kind or another, and that's closer to the truth, because it's the value system of society that's been under attack. Remember that the elite have said for a long, long time, and printed out in many, many books from the top, they had to destroy not only the family unit, but all bonding within society. They created certain sections of society, new sections of society, new dissidents, you might call them, and give them authority and status and special status in order to destroy what was left of ordinary society. And sure enough, people go at it, they fight each other, groups fight each other, that's what they're designed to do. When you belong to a group, you lose your individuality. Unless you truly have come together to save certain common bonds. When the bonds are severed, it's everyone for themselves, unless you belong to the biggest groups, and the biggest groups are organized by those who own the whole system. If you watch many people in the patriot movements, they're often shot to stardom, either by the BBC, CBC in Canada, or some major media in the world. And once they have enough of a following, they tend to be approached by the United Nations, who will give them a nice title and a position, and then they bring their flock that they've gathered back into the fold in the United Nations, as though the United Nations was going to save us all. The whole plan, of course, is to give the United Nations the power to be the front organization for a form of world government. But when you join the United Nations, you must believe in all of its agenda. The very fact that you're at loggerheads with those who rule you and those who want to rule you, and as many factions want to get up there to rule other people, believe you me, There's many people with chips on their shoulder, many groups with chips on their shoulder that want to rule everyone else. When you join the United Nations, you must accept all of that. And when you're all off on your own agenda, you have chaos. When you have chaos, then the powers that be clamp down on you to preserve the peace, as they call it, because everyone will be fighting everyone else. It's the Hegelian dialectic. Under liberalism, the guise of liberalism and diversity, we're going into a system that has no toleration for anything outside of its mandate. And that's very apparent. In fact, we've watched for the last 8 years wars going on across the world to do with standardization of diverse cultures. Because UNESCO comes in to standardize the culture, train a generation into this new democratic way of being, which is just a rule by the few who rule you by owning all the money and the wealth and so on. That's what democracy truly is. It's a cover, it's a front. It never was a real thing. And those with the money and the power decide who will be at the top of democracy, ruling all the rest. When you watch the politics of Britain with Tony Blair, that supposedly represented Labour, which was an utter farce, he passed more laws than any Prime Minister before him. He stripped people of all their liberties. And at the same time, every Commonwealth country, British Commonwealth country, was having its rights stripped in the same fashion by whichever character they had at the top at the time. It was a planned, organized thing. There is no left wing and right wing, because the agenda never falters. If someone got in and a party got in who truly had a different way that was not authorized, they'd be assassinated so quickly you'd miss it if you blinked. Therefore, everything that happens is planned that way. We know that in the United States, Obama is backed by the biggest bankers out there. They put their little magician in front. And the people fall for it, of course, because they fall for everything. People don't want to do things by themselves, for themselves, or by themselves. They want a messiah. They want a human, walking, physical messiah who will do it all for them. And that's always been the downfall of humanity. Because many messiahs can be created. The technique is very simple. The understanding of the masses by those at the top is very simple as well, and comprehensive. No one person is going to change the world for you. The world changes by people individually changing themselves and taking what comes their way when they stand up for rights. And you will be persecuted standing up for rights. There's no doubt about it. We're going into a dark age. This is a dark age. It's the dark ages. More so than the Catholic Church ever had, when they restricted information to the peasantry. You might think you live in the most informed system the world has ever had because of communication. But if you're all prattling about disinformation and trivia while you're being persecuted, you are in a dark age. There's a year coming up where I know that if the elite don't get their way completely, they will cause the problems to happen, to give themselves the excuses to implement even harsher policies, which are on the books. They've decided there's too many people. They've given us one-sided versions of everything. And that's how you alter people's mindsets. You don't give them all the truth and all the facts to do with any particular topic. You give them one-sided facts and omit the rest. Therefore, they'll come to the proper conclusions, the ones designed for them. We have to admit that many people will always be in the dark in this world, in this system. They are totally brainwashed. You can't waste your time trying to help them. But it's good to see that people are finding more and more people around them who are better informed, who at least have an inkling of the basics of what's going on, and they can take comfort in the fact they're not alone, that there's others out there, they can see the bigger picture. And you become a threat again to those who watch you. Why else would you bring in a world where every computer, every telephone call, every fax, everything to do with communication is monitored and watched? Is that a free society? When you have SWAT teams, and every cop who is not in a SWAT team wants to get into one, because that's the thing to do, to see it on TV. They've been brought up with the same television, because fiction is emulated in reality. That's why fiction is put out there. The world that they are bringing into view is a hell on earth. And it's up to the individuals to come together when they have common cause and things to save, because humanity does have an awful lot of good qualities. They are never mentioned by the control freaks at the top. And the bonding must continue between people who have those special abilities still left within them. The art of bonding, the art of acting out the proper ways to be for other people. Because you can't walk around this world hoping to save yourself. You can only save yourself by saving others. That is a survival mechanism. When we're all afraid of governments and what governments want to do to us, then we are weak and we're helpless. The henchmen at the bottom, wearing uniforms, the bullies, have been here in every age. We've got to go beyond them. You don't take them head on. You've got to go to those at the top. And you do it by mass demonstrations, and that will happen eventually. There will be much opposition to stop the mass demonstrations, but it will eventually come. And only then will those at the top take and have to accept recognition of them. They'll never admit they're wrong at the top. They'll always tell you they came up with new information on any particular topic. They'll never admit they're wrong. They can't admit they're wrong. Even when they murder people by mistake, they will never ever admit they're wrong. Government is not in the habit of telling the truth. Government is in the habit of concealing truth. It always has been. Those who gravitate towards positions of power, unfortunately, don't come from healthy, normal people. They come from psychopathic types, that they gravitate towards where power is. A new system has to come out of all of this eventually. And it cannot be the same system. Every person in the world from kindergarten should be taught something different this time. They should be taught how to recognize psychopathy, the psychopath. The one who knows how to use everyone else to do their job for them. The manipulators. Those who can do the dirty and sleep well without tranquilizers. Because psychopaths always gravitate towards positions of power, even at your local level. And that's all you'd have to really do, is ensure that children could recognize psychopaths from a very early age. You see, they're using this technique of indoctrination, I'm talking about they, the psychopaths, are using it on your children to brainwash them into false facts, false theories, and so on, to do with sustainability. But by using a technique of at least getting to the children and saying, look, here's a psychopath, here's what they will do with you. Here's how they can manipulate you so easily, your thoughts, your belief, and even the dedication of your whole life in some cases. Then we wouldn't have this problem. But to have this problem eradicated, we've got to understand what evil truly is. And evil is detrimental to the human species. It's anti-life. In fact, you'll find the radicals who are well-funded by those at the top psychopaths, don't like humans at all. They're nihilistic. That ties right in with what was said by Albert Pike and others. They would use the nihilists and the atheists, meaning those who would create chaos. They'd obliterate humanity and everything that was good in humanity and the natural caring and bonding that can occur within humanity for its own survival. They would obliterate it. When that's gone, you see, you have no one to turn to but the state, and that's exactly what the psychopaths want. They are the state. They have incredible superiority complexes, because what they've managed to do over the last century or so is to convince the public that they have no thoughts of their own that are worthwhile considering. Leave it to the specialists, and the specialists are in the business of doing us all in. The last thing they want now are mass and peaceful demonstrations. I'm talking about massive demonstrations. The last thing they want is that, where people will oppose the totalitarian society, where you're chipped, you're ID'd, your papers are demanded by low-level cops who are no different than anyone else at the low level, where cameras watch you, where you can't write a letter without it being opened and read. That is the utter tyranny. It's the grossest tyranny that's ever been devised, and nothing can justify it. Nothing. This year we should all work together, and don't be afraid of standing in the street amongst other people protesting and having your photograph taken. They know who you all are anyway. They know more about you as an individual than you do about yourself. They've already admitted the army, the Pentagon, has literally a computer system set up with duplicates of you in a system, a virtual you. And the whole idea is to find out how predictable you are. Humanity on an individual level used to be called sacred. That idea has been rubbed out by the dehumanization process, constantly ongoing through, again, movies, predictive programming, and what's called the arts, where they're hiring corpses on wires and put fetuses in jars of urine to debase you. They tell you you're nothing but a freak of nature. You came from slime, and so on. Do you realize that their whole philosophy is based on hate, but no facts? No matter how much you reiterate the same hate, it does not amount up to facts. We have to regain our speciality as human beings, our specialness, our uniqueness as human beings, in order to combat this, and don't fight the guys at the bottom. The big field marshals always watched their armies clash, and then they went off to sip their brandy together. They never took part in the battles. Don't battle with those at the bottom. They always said that massive bureaucracies, including all of the enforcement teams at the bottom, rely on a head at the top. If that head is removed, they are helpless on their own and useless on their own. We've got to start calling out the psychopaths for what they are. And we also have to admit, and this is the key to it as well, you cannot save this system we're in. This system is already totally, utterly corrupt. It's a greedy system where those at the top plunder other nations, cause famines, they cause the wars, they plunder. They have everyone in this system working, hoping to get enough shekels to get by on, and then once you've saved up enough, they pull it all from you anyway. You can't win in this system. There's nothing honest about it. It's totally deceptive and corrupt. So we do need a new way. Now remember, those at the top have decided which way it will be. It will be a system where you cannot procreate without permission, especially if it means to have offspring. That will be forbidden. They want the enhanced types. Now they are going to decide what's enhanced. They'll decide what traits they want, and we know what it's going to be. It's all PC, isn't it? Political correctness. They don't want individuals there that can cause them problems in the future, so they remove all the different genes that give you your uniqueness. That's part of it. We also have a section of society that's helping this along at the bottom level. I call it the bottom, even though they can afford to have supposed enhancement of their fetus and so on, and in vitro fertilization. They are part of the problem. However nice they might be to their neighbours, they are part of the problem. They are eugenicists themselves. They are low-level psychopaths. Those at the top have already said that at the end of it all, they'll have this sort of golden age where you have your dominant minority, you'll have your guardian class, you'll have the helpers, the technocrats, and then this hive of the masses, all working for them, very reduced in numbers, mind you, but working efficiently 24 hours a day for them. We won't need sleep and so on, or entertainment. Through drugs and chemistry, etc., they can overcome these little problems. But the last thing they want are mass demonstrations. Where that will ever happen, I don't know. I know there's so many agitators sent out there who are trained how to cause dissent from the very beginning. I don't know if it's possible. But I think even the attempt is worth it, because in this world, there's a lot of decent people all over the world who can come together in a common purpose. I don't mean that fake one I've said in Britain, common purpose, but a real common purpose with human values that are shared. The human values that make you unique individually, and because you understand that, you also are willing to put yourself ahead to save other people. And they in turn will come out to save you. That is called survival. That's the only true interdependence there ever was, outside of this crappy economic system they've given us. A system where we're all slaves, working to pay the rent for next week or next month. Anyway, the purpose of this talk is not to rant on about that which we already know. The purpose is to help people come together to fight even harsher times which are scheduled for us, I'm sure of it. We've been told what's scheduled, for those who've listened to my shows. We are born into myths and fantasies to serve commerce. Now, of course, we're consuming too much, they claim, and it has to stop. I'm surprised they haven't pulled the Santa con game out as well. But then, after all, Santa must be unemployed by now. He doesn't have a permit to build toys, you see, he and the elves up in the North Pole there. He probably doesn't even have a permit to be there. He won't have a permit from the Ministry of Agriculture and Livestock to have reindeer. He won't have permits to fly across the skies. He won't have permits even to give things out for free. He'll have to be annihilated, I'm sure, because that's the world we're in today. He certainly hasn't signed the GATT Treaty. And after all, since all commerce must be in China, all manufacturing, they had to put him out of business because he doesn't have parts in the GATT Treaty. That's how farcical everything truly is. We live in myths and fantasies, and the media keeps us in utter trivia. Trivia which also indoctrinates us into the myths, the new myths that they constantly bring along. When everyone is afraid of losing their jobs because they might say something which is true and evident to all, self-evident, we're in a bad way. The hope I have is that through time, and time certainly is short, but through time people will come together and say the king has no clothes. Whereas the global warming nonsense, climate change, which is just the weather, which has always changed, to the need to be in the Middle East to standardize them and obliterate their culture, and that's what it's all about, really. Yeah, they'll plunder as well, but it's to obliterate a culture that they claim is obsolete with its religion and its way of life. We're dealing with totalitarian thoughts or thinking or mentalities here. That is the psychopath. Those who know better how we should all live. And they'll kill us all to have their way. We have weather manipulation. We have spraying in the skies. We have technotronic warfare going on. All documented stuff from the big boys themselves. And it's been done on the people without their permission. How could you possibly hope to have any good done for the people by governments working in collusion and using weaponry on you, including sterilization? How could you possibly ever expect them to suddenly change their ways and say we're very, very sorry. They can't say they're sorry because they've gone too far. And apart from that, being psychopaths, and they truly are psychopaths, they are the deviant creation. They can never admit to you what they've done because it would take, there'd be repercussions to it. We'd have to decide what to do with them on a scale more severe than any petty, and I call it petty, Nuremberg trial. Because what's happened for the last 50 years has happened to the entire world by deliberation. So let's try and do more this year. Let's try not to get into loggerheads with people when they can't understand. Let's try to get the information out there in a way they can understand. Yet to start with the personal level, that which affects the person individually. And you go on from there. Because most people, you see, have been disassociated from the rest of humanity. They've been kept in a little shell, and they can only react to that which affects them personally. Start there, and perhaps you can start bringing them into caring about other people too. This is a war for everything. Everything. This being that is and could be. So for myself and Hamish, have a nice and happy Christmas, and strengthen your fortitude for the coming year and the trials we will have put upon us. And those trials we can still fight as well. As long as we have consciousness, we can fight. So good night from Canada, and may your God or your gods go with you. I thought to give you something for your Christmas, and after a day's shoveling snow, forgive the stiff hands, but I dried the guitar out of its coffin and came up with this. So sit back and enjoy. All best, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you.